Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Lobo Tigre, editor of The Independent Speculator. Now, Lobo, this coronavirus, it has been in the news now for a few weeks, and quite honestly, there are so many differing opinions of how severe this is, where this came from, even some of the conspiracy theories that are, well, quite far out there. But you know what? They are getting a little bit more attention, especially in the resource world, in the precious metals world. Now, we can speculate on what is true and what is real. We all have differing opinions on that. But I would like to focus on the economic impact of something like this coronavirus. Where you have flights that were being canceled, general fear about traveling, people buying these masks, they're almost impossible to get in some areas. And I think more importantly, the impact that it could have on the Chinese economy. Even if this coronavirus has peaked and it does go away, there will be some impact on the Chinese economy, which is why I think we have seen some of the moves down in oil and even copper. Let's first just get your thoughts on what is important to watch when it comes to economic impacts on after something like this coronavirus.
I think you framed the question very well. That's really the important ball to keep our eye on here. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist. And I get in all kinds of trouble whenever I comment on this, you know, online on Twitter or whatever. But we have to talk about this because anything that has any impact on China has a huge impact on natural resources. So you can't not think about this. And as you say, but I just want a quick caveat. I want to say if we talk about the economics, it's not because we're heartless human beings and we don't care about the death and suffering, which is very real. I really feel for those poor people on those cruise ships. Nobody will let them debark. And, I mean, what a nightmare. The bereaved. So I'm not discounting that at all. I'm just saying that's beyond the scope of this conversation and my expertise. I can only look at the economics and the resource world, which I've been looking at for decades. That's my expertise. So that caveat in place, I do think you framed it well. I do think this is very important. I'm not the first one to say this. It's been widely commented that you can't just compare this to SARS and say, oh, well, that was just a blip and this will be another blip. China was a much smaller part of the overall global economy at the time. It's gone from 4% to 16% in that time. So clearly anything that has a major impact on China now has a much bigger impact on the global economy. And it matters. If the global economy was teetering on the edge of recession anyway, just a couple percentage points difference in China can push that from growth to recession. So that matters. And it also, I think this is worth saying, however you feel about this or whatever you think about the official sources versus unofficial sources and all this stuff, it's very clear that this is having effects, like you mentioned, the canceled cruises, the airlines, 50,000 flights canceled within a couple days, and that's just expanding. But it's not just the China thing. It's not just the cruises to and from China or the flights to or from China. This is an important point to nail home. It's not just Starbucks shutting down in China or Apple shutting down Foxconn in China. It's the integration into the global economy. It's not just the impact on GDP that I mentioned before. It's if you're making fiats in France and you're not getting your bumpers or spark plugs or whatever you get from China, you can't finish the cars. And we have seen announcements like that of factory shutdowns around the world. There are conferences that are being shut down because of this, events. The supply chain is not optional, right? So, and, China's also, in addition to the number one, this, that, and the other, it's the number one source of tourists in the world. And you may say, oh, it's just tourism. It's not essential to the economy. Well, it is. If tourism is 5% of your economy and you have a 3% growth, well, you take away that 5% and suddenly you have 2% retraction. So all of this stuff really matters. China is a huge part of the global economy. And if you put the hurt on that part, even temporarily, that has an impact.
So how does this mean that you're viewing some of these recent moves? One being, say, the precious metals, very well supported at higher ranges. That could be argued that that is a lot of this fear trade and uncertainty out there. Copper, oil, they have bounced from their lows, as it seems like at least some traders are getting more optimistic that this coronavirus is not going to get worse. Do you think that either of these moves, precious metals to the upside or base metals and oil to the downside, that they have maybe run their course or there still might be room to go?
Yeah, those are the $64 million questions there. And honestly, I think there is huge potential for surprises on this either way. Don't worry, I do have an outcome that I'm happy to go out on a limb and call. But before I get there, I want to say I think it's very, very dangerous to say, oh, therefore oil's down for the count, or copper, iron also retreated after the news came out. The thing is that there's just several ways this could play out. Let's say the whole scare is overblown and the thing is going to be like SARS. It's a blip, maybe a bigger blip. The number of deaths, the number of cases is already larger. So a slightly bigger blip than SARS, but it's one and done and it goes away. Let's say that's the case. Well, it'll still be months before we know what the total economic toll of this is. And as I was saying earlier, it's not going to be confined to China. It's going to be a global hit of unknown proportions. And it's hard for markets to price that in. So it's very dangerous to say, oh, well, it's one and done, and so it's safe to get back in the water now. And that covers mainstream equities as well as commodities and writ large. On the other hand, it's very clear that the Chinese have already ramped up their stimulus as a response to the governments, I think, are likely, particularly in Europe, where they're teetering on the edge anyway. You know, they don't need any more trouble. So I can see more. And it's hard for them to fiddle with interest rates more than they have, but maybe more fiscal stimulus over there or other things they might do. The U.S. may or may not join that, but the U.S.'s current real rates are negative, and it's already in an easy money position. So there may be more easy money coming towards the markets, and that would, I think, go a long way towards explaining why markets have been so quick to seemingly shrug off the virus. They may not be shrugging it off at all. They may be saying, oh, bad news is good news. We're going to get more easy money, so oh, bye. And that may not be wrong. In fact, that could be right. But even if there isn't a flood of more new easy money, the way things stand now is an easy money context. And in the coronavirus sure isn't going to make that likely to change anytime soon. I think any central bank right now that made any hawkish moves, you know, they'd be crazy to do that in the face of this right now. I don't think that's even under consideration anywhere. So, on the one hand, you know, and this is assuming a best case scenario for the virus, right, that it's done. It doesn't just have a new massive outbreak in Africa or some ill-prepared place like that, right? Let's assume it's one and done. Best case scenario, you're still looking at an unknown economic cost. So maybe prices tank on that basis, or you're looking at the easy money, bad news is good news scenario. So prices could rally because we do have bad news of unknown proportions on the horizon. So long story short here is I think it's very dangerous to make predictions, at least in the near term, on most commodities. And I think the risk on attitude on Wall Street is at the very least questionable. I mean, there may be a more easy money parade, but that's not guaranteed either. So lots of questions, but I do have one answer, and I bet you can guess which one it is.
I think I can, but you know what? I think what you were saying there regarding stimulus, potential stimulus, is still one of the major drivers for these markets, because you even considered, yes, this risk-on attitude where markets are at or at least very near all-time highs in the U.S. This has been supported by at least people saying, okay, there are fears out there, but A, U.S. equity markets seem stronger than, well, any of the other ones. And there's just money being created, and that ends up in the markets. Isn't that kind of the more overwhelming scenario here, is when or if we will get more stimulus out of the Fed and even the People's Bank of China? Let's face it, they've been injecting a ton of capital into their markets. And with probably some updated data that we'll get through the next couple months, the expectation is more easy money. But that easy money does seem to support precious metals and also U.S. equities. So what are your thoughts there?
It could, even if there's enough of it. Like, we don't know how much it's going to be, but if there's enough of it, it could actually bring on higher prices for industrial minerals. You know, if there's enough stimulus and China goes on a buying binge, right? You know, they can start importing more copper, more iron again. Oil prices could rise. You could see the everything bubble reignited by a sufficiently panicked response to the situation. You know, I don't think we see quite that yet, but that card is in the deck, you know, especially say there's an outbreak somewhere else in Southeast Asia, you know, a resurgence where they didn't take it seriously enough. There's a couple weeks delay, and suddenly tomorrow there's a huge number of new cases being reported there or in Mali or, you know, some other place. So it's not safe to say, you know, how this is all going to work out. But I think you're putting your finger on something that's really critical, and that is, you know, whatever happens with this, it's something on, I won't say it's marginal or unimportant. I don't mean it that way. But it is on the periphery to the central overriding terms. And even like the scuffle between the U.S. and Iran and other things that have roiled markets in recent months, all of that is peripheral to the central, powerful, overriding force, which is this easy money environment that we're in, which has been supporting equities in general. And that's not changing. That overriding force is there. I'm not saying it's unreasonable to expect that to continue. I'm saying that, you know, the way to play that via risk on assets has risk. I mean, there's risk on assets. Fortunately, and going back to the other thing, you know, there is something that's different. I think clearly the easy money environment has been very good for gold. It's absolutely no coincidence, in my mind at least, and I don't see how anybody can argue that it is, that the big breakout that we had, you know, gold escaping that 1300 prison it was in for so long, coincided with the Powell pivot and the Fed going to easy money and taking real interest rates low in the United States. That was very constructive for gold. And, you know, what used to be seen as a ceiling in the 1500 range, you know, now 1550 has become a floor. Gold fluctuates, it goes up, it goes down, but it bounces right back off that mid 1500 range. It's a completely different environment than we were in before. And there's a lot we can say about that. And it's important for us as resource investors that that's something that seems very solid. But to tie it all together, the start of this conversation, what we've been saying about the overriding driving factor in the world of finance today being easy money, that is pro precious metals, specifically gold and silver, safe haven metals. The, you know, it's not just the writing on the wall or something cryptic, the oracle. I mean, this is documentable fact. I think 2019 stands as a huge proof of concept here, and therefore, you know, the continuation or possible acceleration of that powerful easy money trend is very bullish for the monetary, not just precious metals, going forward.
All right, Lobo, we're going to wrap it up there. I'm glad we kind of stayed more or less away from some of the extreme stories that are being presented about this coronavirus and sticking to what type of economic impact it can have, especially when you consider just how big China is when it comes to the resource market. Overall, though, still, the overwhelming factor is easy money policies from central banks, and maybe this coronavirus will actually speed up some more easy money policies, but we're all just kind of stuck waiting and watching. And I think that's why a lot of these resources are also trading in some new ranges. And for precious metals investors, it is an encouraging higher range. Lobo, great chatting with you. I will post a link below to your website so everyone can follow along with your free content as well as sign up for your newsletter. Thanks for your time today, Lobo.
Thank you, Corey.